Coming soon to own on video and DVD.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen.
The three brave amigos are we.
Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for.
Yo, he just snarfed all over the microphone, yo.
And Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit.
It's a male playing tiny balls. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got it.
We are the two.
Migos.
Huntsville Home Video. Now playing.
Free memberships, never any late fees, thousands of titles to choose from. Welcome to Huntsville Home Video. Some of our employees don't know shit about movies, though. That would be Leanne over there.
Never ask me for help.
My name is Jack. You can ask me for all the movie recommendations in the world. Leanne, not so much.
I can ring you up. That's pretty much it.
Right? You want some popcorn with that? There you go.
I can sell Reese's and do much else.
You can sell Reese's. Also, now let's we got to break this down here for a second. We know that this podcast, there's a lot of talent on this team.
I mean, yes.
Yeah, we are a very talented podcast. Pretty much been the best in the game since we started, what, 35, 36 episodes ago?
I mean, we both are amazing, and then us put together. I mean, it's like, it's
insane right now. But we must acknowledge the fact that the pie chart of talent, it very much leans in your favor.
Not true, but
100% true. Because we got to brag on you for a little bit. I have to brag on you for a little bit. Aww. Because my co-host Leanne Foster, the proud recipient of her second Alabama Broadcasters Award Best Morning Show Large Market.
Ooh.
What?
The crowd goes wild.
Nicely done,
yeah,
my friend.
Thank you. That was a super big surprise that happened this week. So that was exciting.
As we've mentioned before on this podcast, we are just a couple radio people trying to do a podcast to keep ourselves entertained.
Trying to make money stretch as far as it can.
Yeah, you know, we might be broadcast professionals, but by God, do we not make professional levels of money?
No. No, we don't.
No, not even a little bit.
And let me tell you something, this second award's not going to help me at all.
Yeah, that doesn't do a lot for the raise negotiations.
Just another thing I got to dust, you know what I'm saying?
And we can't even trade out dusting from the cleaning people.
No.
Can you make sure you dust the Abbey Awards over here? Leanne's very proud of them.
I'll leave you a dollar under my keyboard. Could you please? No, that was a super exciting honor. And of course, it's not all mine. My partner, Kevin, of course, a huge part of that as well. But no, we were able to do that. So it was awesome.
I mean, even that talent breakdown. I mean, Kevin's a cool dude, but I mean,
well,
clearly,
you know,
Leanne, the talent.
Like, I'm the gal. I am the high commodity. Here,
you wherever right? you go, you just like the tide rises.
Well, when's it going to happen here?
Ouch. Ouch.
I mean, I'm just kidding. This is the fun one.
Clearly, I know I'm not the talented one between the two of us.
I'll be your buoy.
I mean, you know, like I'd say like an 80-20 split.
That's not true. That's not. Can we stop?
An argument could be made for like 75-25.
No.
But 80, I'm going to go 80-20. You get the 80. I'm 20.
No, that's not true. That's not true. You are smooth. You have the best stories.
Ah.
You're the snarkiest, bestest.
And that
so
all adds up to
favorite.
About 20%.
Well,
maybe 25.
I'd give you 30.
All right, I'll take 30. I'll take the. I have zero Abbey Awards. The last award I won, most improved student, fourth grade.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Fourth
30 years ago.
Fourth grade's a tough year.
It was very formative.
You're in between your third and your fifth. It's a mess out there.
Yeah. It was hard out there for a fourth grader selling chocolate milk powder. Yeah, that was that year. I went from almost busted chocolate milk powder dealer
right.
to most improved student.
Look, that's a hell of a hop if I see one.
Uh-huh.
I like it.
It's worth 25% talent.
I don't agree with your numbers, but I appreciate them.
Again, congrats on
Thank
that.
You. Thank you.
But you know what? Two Abby Awards and a dollar. You still don't know shit about movies.
No, I still don't know about movies.
So we're going to try to educate you about some flicks. That's what this podcast is all about. We take some movies that Leanne has never seen. We talk about them. We get sidetracked quite often.
Right.
We go down just weird rabbit holes. Mm-hmm. And we talk about random bullshit. We occasionally talk about flicks. Like today, we're going to talk about Three Amigos.
Mm-hmm.
So right off the bat, a movie you've never seen. What did you think about Three Amigos?
I was really excited to watch it, and I liked it. It was funny. It was cute. It wasn't as funny as I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
I thought with the three of them, it was going to be this hilarious nonstop. And again, it was cute and funny. It wasn't as funny as I thought.
There were no sides that were split.
No, when I did laugh, I laughed like out loud, but it didn't overwhelm me as like, this is the best ever.
There are, I laugh a lot during this movie. There are four lines in particular. As we go on, I'm going to see if you and I laughed at the same things.
Okay. I'm sure we did.
I think we did. Yeah.
But no, it was good. I really liked it. I'm glad I watched it because I really wanted to watch it. It was not a letdown. It was just like, oh, this isn't at, it just didn't hit me as hard as I thought it was going to.
Well, and you've also talked about how you're not super keen, being someone who was born in 1990.
True.
You're not super keen on movies, especially comedies that came before that, because the comedy just doesn't land. It doesn't, you know.
I think most of that was just me thinking it wasn't going to.
Okay.
So I don't really think that was it this right. time. I just, I don't know.
I
Maybe
get it.
I missed some shit.
Maybe
that's I'm known to do that, you know.
You just funny hyped it up too much in your head.
I think I hyped it up too much in my head.
Okay.
I truly think I did.
And there is something to be said, too, and this is something that I've noticed definitely over the years going back and watching mm-hmm. a lot of the movies with the SNL crowd mm-hmm. from that era. A lot of these movies are almost broken up into sketches and bits.
Right.
So it's like, here's the overall theme, but now we're going to do this bit, and then we're going to do this little side funny ha-ha.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something that Martin Short probably learned in improv class.
Right.
Which is so dumb. Like,
oh,
God, like improv comedy is not my thing.
Oh, you don't like improv?
Not a big fan.
No.
Not a big fan.
Okay.
I know a couple people that maybe listen to this podcast are like shaking their fist in anger right now.
I was about to say, it's huge. And for those who do it, they're very passionate about it.
Hugely passionate about
it. I would assume it's almost on the same wavelength as a LARPer. Isn't it essentially LARPing on a stage?
Kinda, yeah.
Could you not make that tie? And now everybody's shaking their fists.
And this is why you get 80% talent credit. Because you connected those dots.
I cued those dots, man. Just beep, beep, beep.
Yeah. Like if I ever say to anyone, hey, man, you want to hang out? Like, oh, I can't. I have improv class. I'm like, I'm never going to ask you that question again.
Glad we couldn't hang out.
I'm glad we could not.
Glad you were busy.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But yeah, Martin Short, you know, big like Chicago-based improv guy, I believe. I think all those guys kind of came from that world.
So you don't like the show Whose Line Is It Anyway?
In small doses, occasionally.
That was my jam when I was a kid.
You're all about that?
Yeah, and it's on HBO, and I've watched all of them again.
In the Drew Carey years or the Aisha Tyler years?
I like Drew Carey.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Back when it was good. I don't like the British one. Fuck the British one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, British comedy. That's a whole nother can of worms.
Right. I don't think I get it. We may have to encounter that on the podcast, because I don't know that I get that one.
Okay. What about British stand-up?
I don't know that I've encountered a lot. I mean,
have you ever listened to Jimmy Carr?
I like him. He's hilarious.
Awesome.
He's so good when he attacks the crowd.
Yes.
It's phenomenal. Yes.
I love a stand-up that can just rip apart.
Right.
And like a heckler mm-hmm. or just whatever.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of my favorite crowd takedowns ever comes from an Australian comedian named Jim Jefferies. And
okay.
I actually stole this one when I was doing DJing in strip clubs. If someone was acting like a jackass,
mm-hmm.
Jim Jefferies just stops the crowd or stops the show because this dude is being a jackass. He's like, everyone, hold your hands up in the air. And now just have one finger in the air. And now point to this guy. And now call him a cunt. And everyone caught the crowd just like, cunt! And then the laughter dies down, and he's like, I got everyone in here to call you a cunt. Even women. And women hate that word, but not as much as they hate you.
Oh, that hurts.
I thought that was so good.
Dude, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I like that.
Yeah, but nowhere in the movie we're talking about today is the C-bomb.
There's no C-bombs in here. No hard C's.
But the three amigos watching this for the first time in probably 10 years, maybe. It's been a while since I revisited this one. And maybe you had this thought as well. Did you kind of think that this was almost like a 20-year precursor to Tropic Thunder?
Oh, I never even put that together.
Like 20 minutes into that, I was like, this is very, like, you know, not obviously a remake by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
But you got actors in a situation, like a real world situation. I'm like, oh, shit, it's Tropic Thunder.
No, I didn't even think of that. I didn't even think of that until you just said it.
And Tropic Thunder is actually a movie that you've seen.
Yes. It's been a long time since I've seen it, I loved it.
That movie is hysterical.
I think it's hilarious as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, all right. Well, let's get into Tropic Thunder. Whoops.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It's Goldfinger and Goldeneye again.
The gas leak has already started.
Three amigos.
See, now I'm down to 20% talent. This is like, it's a shifting pie chart.
Now we'll see how far down Jack can go.
Oh, boy. At 0%, I'm just off the podcast until I win an Appy Award.
You got next year. We got next March.
All right. It's a rebuilding year for Jack Spade. Mm-hmm. It's you know, we're gonna rebuild the franchise.
Rebuild him.
We're gonna turn this team around.
Yes.
Let's talk about Three Amigos.
Let's talk about Three Amigos. We're first introduced to them of them singing in their outfits on the horses. And when they hold that long ass note, like that shit tickles me. I was laughing at that. I was rolling at that. But one for each other and all for one.
Mm-hmm.
The three brave amigos are we. Yes.
How much did that song get stuck in your head after you watched this movie?
So I watched it last night and this morning. And all last night I was like, all for each other and one for all. Like just people were in my apartment, but they weren't.
You're right.
And my neighbors were like, this fucking yeah. I almost got this bitch complaints to the head office. You know what I mean? So we meet the three amigos, the credits roll, and then we settle onto a town in Mexico in the year of 1916. Isn't that right, Jack Spade?
It is Leanne Foster, right? You are.
And we meet Carmen and her son, Rodrigo, and they need help to take care of El Guapo.
El Guapo.
El Guapo. Which means handsome.
It does.
Even though he's not handsome. I see the joke there. So they head into Cantina del Borracho.
Which means?
Drunk.
Yes.
It do.
It does.
I went, they focus on this. I bet I better look it up.
I was thinking while watching this, I'm like, I wonder how much Leanne's one semester of Spanish is going to pay off here.
It helped me with guapo, did not help me with borracho.
Okay.
If I'm even saying it correctly, because, you know, they wanted to auto-correct me in my notes.
Which, yeah, you're probably not.
So they're looking for someone to help, and that doesn't go very well. They don't want her kind in there. Girls aren't allowed in there.
I mean, it was 1916. They couldn't even vote yet.
No, exactly. And like some patriot, bandito, you know, makes her leave because she's not of the same level. And so they run out of the cantina and into the church, which is playing a silent film. I didn't know they played silent films in the church.
I imagine they played silent films everywhere back in the day.
All right.
I mean, it was 1960.
They just acted out him dying on the cross. I didn't know they did silent films.
Wow. Happy Easter.
Oh, that's right. Easter was yesterday. It's the release of this podcast.
Whew.
Yeah, somebody said that to me in Publix yesterday, and I was like, what?
When? I had to Google, when is Easter?
I know. I was like, who? We still have holidays? What?
Right.
And
Do you get down on a silent movie? Do you dig a silent movie?
I don't think... The only silent movie I've ever watched was Nosferatu.
Which is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
You ever watch any, like, Charlie Chaplin bits or anything like
that? I've never watched any. I know who he is, and I know I've seen him referenced and seen him on things, but never have watched a movie.
I've watched a couple. I don't actively go out of my way to sit down and like, I'm going to watch a Charlie Chaplin film tonight. Anyone that tells you that is probably like one of those pretentious film buffs that you don't want to hang out with.
Are they a improver?
Quite possibly. Quite
possibly. Is Charlie Chaplin big in the improv scene?
Because
it was silent.
Very, very vaudevillian in his.
Right. Vaudeville. That's what that was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would ask some of my improv friends, but then I would have to talk to my improv friends.
Improv friends?
Acquaintances? I mean, they're not hell buddies. Don't get it twisted.
Right. No.
You know.
Ain't nothing on that same level.
No.
So in the church, they are enjoying a silent film, which is the film of the Three Amigos. And you meet Lucky Day, Ned Niederlander.
Yep.
Ned Niederlander and Dusty Bottoms.
Great names.
I had heard of Dusty Bottoms, but didn't know where it was from. And then found out it was from Three Amigos. And they are in a movie where basically they save the town from injustice. And they get rid of the bad guy. And they receive, was it 100,000 pesos?
Yeah.
And Ned was like, our reward is that justice has been done. And he throws the pesos back. And so this sparks the idea for Carmen that she needs to get the Three Amigos, because I guess she doesn't realize it's a movie. She thinks it's like a newsreel. Like, this is what happened.
It was 1916 and people were stupid, especially women. They had much smaller brains.
Absolutely. That's why you can't go. That's why she got kicked out of that cantina.
Yeah. I mean, everyone, it's 1916 science. Everybody knows
they had smaller brains and they're hysterical. They can't show their ankles. They're absolutely hysterical.
80%.
Carmen believes that they are the solution to El Guapo. So she doesn't realize that they're actors or it's a movie. So she sends a telegram asking for them to save the village, which ends up being too long because she only has 10 pesos to pay for the telegram. Because that's when you had to pay for like messages and you didn't have it on your expensive phones, right? So she sends out, in the shortened version, it basically sounds like they're asking the Three Amigos to come for a show. For entertainment purposes, that this El Guapo wants to watch, this infamous El Guapo wants to watch them perform a show.
Yeah. Comedy through misinterpretation, miscommunication.
Love it.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, we're back in LA, Aaron Hollywood, and at Goldsmith Pictures. And the Three Amigos are meeting with Harry Flugelman,
studio executive.
Yep. And John Lovitz and Phil Hartman are in there. Phil Hartman.
I forgot Phil was in this. And like, as soon as he popped on, I'm like, oh, damn it, Phil.
Right.
Like, that is like him and Farley were like two of the biggest tragedies in the comedy world. Mm-hmm.
Did you? I'm assuming you probably saw that documentary they did on him on Hulu.
Yeah.
Yeah. And about his death. I had no idea the story behind him.
That
everything
crazy
that happened to
bitch.
Him. I know. Again. Small brains.
We're
small crazy brains AF.
And, small brains and coke addiction took Phil Hartman out of this world.
Coke and hysteria.
God bless it.
Yeah, I know. That sucked.
Yeah, that was a rough one. God, how old were you when that happened?
I don't even know what year it was. I mean, I'm sure I'm like, all this stuff that I talk about, I probably encountered way after it happened.
I want to say that was like 97, 98.
Okay.
So you'd have been like a seven or eight year range. Yeah.
Right. I wouldn't have known him at then, and I don't remember my parents ever watching Saturday Night Live.
Man, he was great on SNL. He was great in even the movies that he was in that sucked. Mm-hmm. Like, he was still good in.
Right.
Like, he did a lot of bit characters. You know, he was always like the neighbor in the comedy flicks. You know, he was always like the sidekick. You
right.
know, man, like News Radio. He was so great in that show. I don't know if you ever watched that.
No.
He was really good. Just this snark. I mean, he was like just snarky Phil Hartman.
Right.
Like, in everything. He was great.
Stood out no matter what he did.
Yeah.
Even just as small. Yeah.
Yeah. So when he popped up in Three Amigos, I was just like, oh, Phil, God damn it. Rest in peace, man.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy bitches is bringing the world down.
Crazy bitches.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you're not allowed into cantinas. So they are, you know, Flugelman's trying to pitch them shows or movies, and Lucky is the one who stands up and says, no, we're going to have to renegotiate here. We want some more dough. More dough or no show, right? And
actors.
Right. And so Flugelman, we hit him on a bad day because he shuts it down. He takes their company paid for mansion that they're living in and then has wardrobe come in to take their clothes because their studio provided. I love film and I call the wardrobe department. So they are kicked out of Goldsmith and they're behind the gates and they're like, you know, it's showbiz. Something always turns up. And guess what?
There's the telegram.
There's the telegram. And they read the infamous El Guapo as infamous.
Infamous? What's infamous?
Well, infamous is more famous than famous.
I love how we've already established that they're actors with an inflated sense of self-worth and they're stupid.
And they're stupid.
Yeah.
And so they and also she gives the offer of 100,000 pesos, even though they definitely don't have it, but they're going to give it back anyway. So now that they've been kicked out of the studios, they need the pesos anyway. So they decide they have to steal their amigo costumes from Goldsmith to go to Mexico. So this is the shit I find funny. When Lucky is running on top of the wall. And then he tries to signal down to Dusty and Ned, and he's like, hoo-hoo, hoo-hoo, and they don't pay attention. And so it just keeps going like, ca-ca, ha, look up here, look up here.
What are you doing?
I'm a bird.
What are you doing?
It's a bird. Like, it killed me. And they just never look. That murdered me.
Yeah, that's good shit right there.
That's good funny shit. So they finally, they get in. They get their costumes on, and they are able to flee from the security by swinging on the ropes.
Which like I said, I loved how they established that they're actors with an overinflated sense of self-worth. They're stupid, but they're effective.
Right, they are.
Like, they can do their stunts.
Like, they are able to take from their movies and do what they need to do.
Yeah, like, yeah. They swing down like Indiana Jones with zero problem.
No issues whatsoever. I love that there's ropes on the ready for them to be able
right,
to swing.
Because why wouldn't there be?
Why wouldn't there be in, like, you know, that storage facility? So they get their costumes, they leave, and then we go back to the Cantina de... I forgot the word.
The Cantina of the Drunk?
Cantina, the Drunk Cantina. And this is where we meet the German pilot. That wasn't German.
That was bad.
Any... Do you want to do German pilot?
No. I'm good. I'm not the talented one here.
Stop. I don't like this. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Well, I mean, you should embrace your talent and just realize that you work with a bunch of untalented swine.
I'm working with my favorite hell buddy.
Aww.
That's what I'm doing here.
I'm like your only hell buddy.
Well, if you're my only, you're my favorite.
Fair. That's accurate.
They go hand in hand, man.
Yeah. That's what's up. That's what's up.
So, at the cantina, the German pilot comes in. And he's looking for El Guapo. And he has quite a pretty pistol on his side. And he, that's not a sexual innuendo, by the way. I'm literally talking about a gun. And he says that he has some friends who will be meeting him there. Tell them to stay at the cantina. I love the bartender, by the way.
Such, yeah.
He's a good bartender.
He kills it.
And so this German pilot, he shows off some pretty sweet gun moves while he's there. So they all fear him and they're going to fear the friends that are supposed to be coming into the cantina, right? So as the German pilot leaves, that's when the amigos make their way into the cantina because he tells the bartender, you'll know them. You'll know who they are.
Now, keep in mind, this German dude comes in. He's got, you know, his little leather flight helmet on.
Right.
He just
pilot jacket.
Yeah. Looks like a tough customer in a room full of tough customers.
Right.
Be, you know, look out for my friends. Take care of them. They're fucking badasses like I am. I just shot 6 dudes. You saw that?
Yeah.
I could shoot like 20 dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And then he leaves, in walks these just loud, flamboyant three amigos with their comically large sombreros with intricate bordering and etching.
None of that went together.
No.
The only thing was the shiny pistol.
Yeah.
But the none of that went together, but the cantina assumes that those are the friends that the German pilot is talking about.
Yeah.
Because it's unlike anything they've ever seen. So, oh, and what's his face? Dusty says, looks like people have been beaten here by the ugly stick or something when he comes in. And also, what I think it was Lucky that says, excuse us, we're not Mexican. We're out of town. We're from out of town. So everybody in the cantina is scared, and the amigos take it as the people know who they are.
Yeah, they're just again, starstruck.
They're full of themselves. They think they're starstruck, so they decide that they're going to have some tequila, which is basically just watered-down beer, right? And then they put on a show, and My Little Buttercup.
Whoa.
That was rough, but that was showbiz back in the day.
Yeah, that
was 1916 cinema.
And I love how they eventually get to the point where they do the call and response. They want the crowd into it.
Right. And
they're just terrified. My Little Buttercup. Such a sweet surprise.
A while.
Just these tough ass looking Mexican bar patrons freaking out over some gringos.
Over these prancing gringos. It was so good. So they leave the cantina, and after they leave, they see a plane. Just the way that Lucky would lift Ned, and Ned would just jump, because he's you find out he's like a child star, so he definitely has that like sweet innocent little thing about him, which is adorable.
Yeah, but it's a pluckiness to him.
Yes, exactly. So as they leave the cantina, they see a plane flying above, and it's a Tuppen 601.
Yeah.
Tuppen 601. And Ned recognizes it from his movie, Neddy Goes to War.
He's like, that's a mail plane.
Yeah. My favorite.
How can you tell? Because of the balls.
Didn't you see his little balls?
What kills me there is like how much like how you like when they hold the long note.
Yes,
his prolonged laughter.
Right,
the balls, the balls,
and then how long it takes for them to start joining in. It's so good. That was so fantastic.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, man, I get it. Because I laugh like Ned at my own stupid-ass jokes that nobody else wants to laugh at. So, also, after this, we need to point out that the actual German friends then come into the cantina, and then everybody calls them sissies.
Which was great. Look at who are these sissies?
Right.
And again, the Germans come in looking like their dude that came in before
right.
them. All suited up, you know, big henchman type.
Right. But no,
they're sissies. Pew, pew, pew. Dead.
I think the bartender's like, this town's getting too rough for me. So.
You got to imagine, like, that dude has seen some shit.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
Just a bartender in general. But then especially back in 1916.
Right.
In cantina drunk. Like, it had to be great.
Where all you drink is tequila.
Right. They don't have anything else.
Oh, boy.
So, are you a tequila fan?
No, not really.
I can't. I can't do it. It knocks me on my ass.
In my drinking days, by the time I started reaching for tequila, that's when you knew shit was about to get ugly.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, there is a place in Nashville, in the Nashville area, called Spence Manor. You ever been?
I've heard of it. I've never been.
Okay. So, it was like a hotel. Before that, it was maybe like some sort of apartment or like a housing complex. Like a lot of stars stayed there in the past. Mm-hmm. Like Elvis stayed there at one point.
Okay.
And I got set up there once for by a record label. We were promoting a Motley Crue record.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like one of the only stations in the country that was promoting it. And they're like, hey, we appreciate it. Come to the Motley Crue show in Nashville. Stay at Spence Manor on the night on us. And at that time, it was quote unquote Motley Crue. It was only Vince and Nikki.
Okay,
like Tommy was out.
Right,
everyone's gone. Mick wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, all right, we should get this dude something. This record label rep. What should we get him? And he's like, oh, he likes tequila. So we got him a bottle of Sammy Hagar's Cabo Wabo.
Okay,
and Went to the concert, had a great time, went to the hotel, super cool hotel. They got a guitar-shaped pool. And we go to like a little after party. It's like a bunch of radio people, record industry people, no one from the bands. Like,
of course not.
They're
no.
fucking elsewhere.
They're banging chicks. They're not. They don't have anything to do with you.
Right. so we brought dude the bottle of Cabo Wabo, and he's like, oh yeah, put it in the fridge with the others. We open the fridge, and it like is literally just a fridge with tequila. That's all.
God.
So I'm like, well, I guess I'm drinking tequila tonight, and proceeded to get absolutely shithoused on Cabo Wabo and then puked in the guitar-shaped pool.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
You puked in the pool!
Like, I didn't plan to.
Well, no, nobody does.
Like, we were all out by the pool, and I was going to go just, like, hork in the bushes. And as I was, like, making my way over there, someone just, like, hey, Jack, come here, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, son of a... Ah, fuck it. Well, here we are. I'm sure Johnny Cash and Elvis did the same shit.
Oh, 100%. You
know? I have puked where legends have puked. Again, 80% talent, 20% talent.
I was about to say, that just bumped you up to 80, though. That just swapped us. If you've puked where legends have puked, that bumps out anything else.
No, I'm saying, like, they were the talented ones, and I'm the one fucking up that pie chart.
Okay.
I have fucked up the curve for everyone. Johnny Cash pukes there, legend. Elvis pukes there, legend. Jack Spade puked there. I'm going to need about a 20% discount.
Who?
You're right, exactly. Who?
Who?
Hmm.
Jack? Who? That's great. Three amigos.
Three amigos.
Is that what we're talking about? Yeah, love that you puked in that pool. I don't know why. I love that you puked in that pool. And I love that we assume that somebody else has puked in that pool. So anyways, they spot the mail plane, and then they, this is where they meet Carmen. They meet Carmen, right?
Yep, and they, she brings them to, Santa Poco. Her little village.
Mm-hmm. I love them all three riding the same horse, just how yeah. awkward it looks with them in their suits. And, they're greeted, and, the little kid asks Dusty if he can have his watch
yes.
when he's dead. Can I have your watch when you die?
So, the first time I saw this movie was in theaters. And I must have been, I don't know, 8 maybe.
Okay.
My dad brought me to this movie. It's one of those movies that I have vivid memories of going to see and just laughing hysterically at.
Mm-hmm.
And it couldn't have been more than a couple weeks later. We were at a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked one of my relatives, can I have your watch when you're dead? It's like, what the fuck?
What? Not as funny. As
no,
in the movie.
No, without context.
Right.
You know, had I taken improv classes, maybe I would have learned that.
Maybe you would have set yourself up better.
Yes,
you're supposed
and.
To set the scene.
Yeah, you
set the scene.
You have to yes and.
You can only use one arm. Some bullshit. I don't know what they
do. Give me an item. Give me an item. A Starbucks cup. Give me another item. Like, just tell me what you want to fucking joke about.
A knife to stab in your throat.
Hey, that's a good one.
Hey.
Fucking nuts.
I love how much you hate it.
Making friends, that's what we do here at Huntsville Home Video.
We're so good at it.
Yeah.
So they are greeted by the town. They are fed. I also love that Dusty asks if there's anything else other than Mexican food. And then that night, the three of them squeeze into the bed together. And
which was adorable.
It's so funny how they looked. And they discuss what they're going to do for the show and what they'll do with all the money. Lucky wants the car, and Dusty wants to be a big shot. And then Ned's like, I'm going to make a homeless shelter for children or whatever it was.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I would do
yeah,
that.
I thought of that.
That,
yeah.
that should have gone without saying.
Right.
Like, after I do that, I'm going to go get the big car and go to Paris and do all these things.
Hypocrite!
There's a great Steve Martin bit that he did on SNL where he's it's like a Christmas time. Bit he's like sitting at his chair reading this book, and he's like, if I had one wish, it would be for world peace, and then this other thing, and then, you know, like he keeps going on, he's like, but then he keeps like backtracking it, and I'm massacring this bit right now, but mm-hmm. like if you go to YouTube, it'll do a much better job, just check it out for yourself. And he's like so basically what I'd wish for is like, okay, the crap with the kids, yeah, whatever, there, yeah, do that. And then this, and then this, and then, yeah. Like, I love Steve Martin.
He's so adorable. Again, delightful.
Delightful
is just
what you
the
call,
best
yeah.
way to describe him to me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Give that man a banjo and a microphone and just let him tell his tales.
So precious.
Yep.
God, so precious.
A national treasure.
So the next day, the banditos ride into Santa Poco for some tequila. And the show is on. This time, it's not 50 men like they promised. There's only three. How are we going to do the show? So the amigos run in, and I love their dancing. They're shuffling and shit amongst one another.
They're doing like the three-card Monty with themselves.
Yes. Yes. And then I love how they hop on their horses from the back.
Again, like they can land those awesome stunts.
Yes, it's perfect.
But
that movie training.
So stupid.
The movie training. And they call them scum sucking pigs. And
tons of motherless goats.
Which I had a professor that always said that in college, and I never knew where it came from. And I'm guessing this is where it came from.
Quite possibly.
He was like, ah, son of a motherless goat. And then I adopted that, but had no idea where it came from.
Look at that. Like, you've seen movies now where you know where the gif comes from, where the memes come from, and now you're picking up on quotes.
Look how much my life keeps improving.
Man, earlier this week, you dropped a quote on me that from a movie that we've watched recently, and I'm like, I'm so proud of her.
I did it right, too. Like,
you
the
did,
perfect
yes,
timing.
You used it in the proper context and everything.
You were going in, and you're talking about when I said, sell that shit to the tourists.
Yep.
Yeah!
I was like, yeah! So proud of you. Pretty soon you're going to not have your own thoughts and opinions. You're just going to bust out movie quotes and
I'm Mini Jack. I'm Mini Jack right now. Right. I'm Jack Mini.
My little Padawan, my little protege.
Like, I'm like the little dog that's like hop is like, what are we going to do today, Jack? What are we going to do? Who are we going to snark at today?
we're gonna watch Three Amigos.
And yeah,
we're
yeah, gonna, yeah. Three Amigos.
Yep. We're going to pick up some lines from this one. Mental Rolodex this shit. It'll come in handy later.
It's a male playing tiny balls. Yeah. Got it. So the amigos, they circle the banditos.
I was mentally thinking about how great when next year, when the Abby Awards are happening and we win for best podcast. I'm thinking to how great that speech is going to be.
Do you want me to do that on the stage?
Yes.
We're the greatest Yeah. Greatest podcast.
Now you and everyone else coming out here with a podcast. I mean, you can sell your podcast to the tourists.
Yeah, boss. Sell them to the tourists.
That's right, Leanne.
It's so ridiculous because it seems like that would definitely be true.
That would be us.
Because I've been super drunk at those events, and I will do whatever.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's all dressed up nice in their suits and their dresses. We got our Huntsville Home Video tracksuits. Yeah, motherfucker.
I just want us to walk in and be like, we came here to fuck shit up and just knock a tray out of someone's hand. That's why.
My opening line to that acceptance speech would be like, started at the bottom, now we're here. Just a few feet from the bottom.
Yes.
Yeah. Boss, the bottom.
Bottom. Yeah. Did you see that?
A couple feet from the bottom. You fucking mutts.
Y'all don't know what's coming. You don't know what's coming.
But I'll tell you where they can find out, Leanne, at HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com. Better luck next year, y'all. Stay humble. Huntsville Home Video out.
That is my favorite thing. And I hope it happens.
Well,
I can only pray that this happens.
If the mind can believe it, we can achieve it.
Yes. So the amigos are circling the banditos and they're shooting their guns into the air, which we need to say are fake guns, of course.
Right.
And then.
And I don't know why, but like this really cracked me up when the camera is just cutting to each individual amigo.
Yes.
And Ned is just like, or no, it was Lucky, wasn't it? That was just like swapping his gun from hand to hand, just throwing it like, oh, look what I can do. Look at me juggle this gun.
Look at my tricks. Yeah.
Look at how threatening I am. God damn it, that made me laugh.
They're having so much fun threatening the banditos.
Right.
Like, and it's so confusing to the banditos.
And they're just sitting there like, what is happening right now?
What are these white people doing?
Stupid white people?
Stupid whites. So they run off to tell El Guapo what's going on. And so when they run off, they think that the amigos have saved the town, that they've intimidated them. They beat the banditos, right?
Yeah, the amigos thought they put on a great show. The townspeople thought, oh my God, these people just saved us from El Guapo's men.
One of them says, not bad for a matinee.
Right, yeah.
Ned forgot his line. He's like, nobody will remember.
Right.
And so viva los amigos, baby. They won. But the banditos go to tell El Guapo what's happened. El Guapo. And you meet El Guapo for the first time, and he's taking a photo. So odd. And he says that he is going to take 50 men. He's going to ride, and he's going to cut the amigos' bellies open and squeeze their intestines.
I don't know how you could squeeze someone's intentions.
When I said intentions, I got stuck on it, and I couldn't figure out what the word was. I knew it was wrong, but I couldn't figure out how to fix it in my brain.
At this point, 30%. I'm right. Up to 30%.
You're up, and I'm down.
And it's nothing that I did.
No, it's just me. Oh, no, don't worry. I will lose my throne, man.
Be better.
I will melt that award away.
We're going to cut them open and grab their intestines and squeeze the shit out of them. Which again, was a line that 8-year-old Jack recited when he went back to school the week after seeing that with his dad.
Yes! Did you get in trouble?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, just like as soon as some jackass kid on the playground started talking shit, I'm like, hey, Billy, I'm going to cut your belly open, grab your intestines, squeeze the shit out of you. No, Jack, you're not.
No.
You're going to go to the principal's office.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Pretty violent threat for a family movie.
I know, but true. So he threatens him, and then that night the amigos are partying in the town in Santa Poco in the village. And I don't know why, but Dusty with his guitar playing, and then he just comes out with, like, I don't know why it hit me funny, but it did. It killed me.
This is also my second favorite line in the movie, and it hit me so fucking hard.
Is it the veranda line?
Yes.
Yes.
God damn it. We got some young villager that like has the googly eyes for old Dusty, mm-hmm. And she's like, you could take me down and go for a nice walk, and we could, you know, you could kiss me on the veranda. Ah, the lips are fine.
It's so funny. It's so good. And he's just, and the way he delivers it, and he's just so serious and just stupid. It's just so good.
Ah, the lips are fine.
The lips are fine. Like, I hope that I could be able to, the lips are fine. If I can pull that line out from somewhere, that would be great. So they have this big party, and the next morning, I like the bell ringing in the town very loud, and they're all hungover in the room, and they were like, next time I'm requesting a different room.
I love how Ned just sounds like an 80-year-old smoker,
yes.
Like he had his voice box taken out.
Yes. So as they are waking up with their hangovers, El Guapo rides in with his 50 men, which they think is another show. They think this is the big show, the next big performance, right? So the amigos proceed with the show, and I think at one point he was like, it's a pleasure working with you, or so exciting working with you, or something. Just these comments that they make that like El Guapo doesn't understand.
Now tell us we will die like dogs. You will die like dogs.
No! we will fight like lions!
And then they break into their old shtick, and they start circling them again.
Shooting in the air.
And I love El Guapo. He's just sitting there with this big, dumbass smile on his face. Like, I like these guys. These are funny guys.
Kill
one
of
them.
Yes, such a good turn. Such a good turn. And so I think it's Hefe was his name. It's like his like right-hand man. Yeah. Hefe shoots Lucky off of his horse. And the way he just gets up and then finally realizes he's in so much pain and then and realizes he's bleeding. So he walks over to Hefe and the way he just inspects the gun.
He's like, give me your gun.
Yeah.
And he just hands it over.
Right. And then he looks at it, he was like, this is it's real guns. And he goes, I'm taking this. And then
you're
puts the
big trouble, mister.
Right. And keeps the bullet in his pocket. And also, I love that he got shot. I mean, he's bleeding because he got shot, and they never, ever come back to the fact that he's got a bullet in his arm, ever in the movie, right?
I think it grazed him.
Okay, it grazed him. Yeah. It just knocked off a sequence or two, right?
Yeah. So, some of his flair.
Yes, so they, and then Lucky realizes that this is not a show, that these are real bad guys.
Oh, shit.
And
this is real. Guys, this is real.
And so when he goes back to he's like, this is real. And they're trying to hold their tears in and be strong. And then Ned's finally like, or one of them's like, what am I doing in Mexico? and then Lucky's like, I've been shot already. And so I think it was Lucky that says, let me talk to him man to man. Like, them, that whole conversation's hilarious. And so they apologize to Guapo and explain everything, that they're actors and there's been a misunderstanding and they just want to go home. And El Guapo only kills men. He doesn't kill crying women.
Right.
So he lets them go.
That's pretty par for the course for an actor, I'd imagine.
Right, exactly. It was so good. And so the amigos ride off and they leave Santa Poco. And then the El Guapo, I believe, takes Carmen.
He does.
Oh, no. Takes Carmen and the banditos and they demolish the little village.
They wreck that
they
fucking
wreck it
place.
With dynamite and everything. That was pretty, like, I thought there was going to be some comedy in there. There wasn't, man.
No,
it was
rough. When you got a pillage, you got a pillage.
Right. Motherfuckers got a pillage. Mm-hmm. So they take Carmen and they ride off. And then this is where we cut to the amigos. They are camping for the night. How do you like your bat? Medium rare.
They got a bat on a skewer and is like grilling or cooking them up in the campfire
and crunching on it. It was not medium rare.
No, very crunchy.
And so they have to figure out where El Guapo is, right? That's the task.
Yeah.
And so they have some instructions that they need to do in order to find El Guapo, which is they need to travel east through the desert. And I love little things like when they said east, all of them pointed different directions. Yeah. And they have to find the singing bush. They have to do some magic words, shoot their pistol into the air, and then the invisible swordsman will tell them where El Guapo is.
Which is super funny because clearly you're thinking someone in town was fucking with them.
Right, exactly.
And then all of that shit happens later.
It does. So that's where what they need to do to reveal the location. And then they begin to play the guitar and sing. And then all the animals start joining in.
As they often do.
And the damn horses that are keeping, that start singing along.
Dom, 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 dom.
And then they start telling each other goodnight, and the turtle's like, goodnight, Dad.
Goodnight, Dad. Yeah. I was like, what? What happened
here?
But
I literally went, that's how turtles sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. It felt so natural.
You much of a camper?
No.
No, I'm with you on that.
I was out. I mean, I love being out. Like, we went to the woods all the time when I was a kid, like on four-wheelers and stuff. But we didn't really camp overnight. Much. I'm not a fan of peeing in the woods.
So, speaking of peeing in the woods, I went on a canoe trip with some friends many, many years ago. A group of friends of mine, well, a group of my friends, they went on a yearly canoeing trip. I never went.
Okay.
Because I don't like camping and canoeing.
Right. That doesn't, you don't seem like a canoer.
No. No. I can confirm that.
Are you a floater? Like, do you like to get on a raft and float the river?
No.
I'd love to do that.
Nope. Okay. Hard pass. I
love a lake.
I hate open bodies of water.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Sorry. Yeah.
Not a fan. Not a fan. But I was guilted / convinced to go on this trip.
Wow.
All right. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. So we go on this canoe trip. It's like a 3-day thing. We're like camping and canoeing some rivers in Minnesota. And on the second night, we stop to set up camp. We all have our tents or whatever. And I'm passed out. Well, kind of passed out. I'm just like half drunk, half awake in my tent. And there's some people outside the tent chatting, carrying on. Everyone's fucking hammered at this point. Someone decided on day one, they thought it would be a good idea to bring Everclear. Never a good idea.
Ew.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Basically like watered down moonshine.
Right.
You know, you get that fresh out of the still.
Mm-hmm.
So dude is sitting there with like half a bottle of Everclear, just pulling straight shots off of it. He's like, oh, I got to fucking piss. This fire has to go out eventually. So he's pissing into the fire.
Okay.
Hold up. While he is pissing into the fire, moron decides that it would be a good idea to take the mouthful of Everclear and spit it into the flames.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Dipshit singed his dick something fierce.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so fucking stupid.
I heard everything secondhand because I was in my tent and all I saw was this dude's shadowy outline in front of like the orange flame.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard like the spit and an orange wall of flame go up and then, ah, my motherfucking dick. So good.
Ow, my motherfucking dick.
And then by the time I had zipped open my fucking tent, I was like, what the hell? He was running, but his pants had fallen. He didn't pull his pants up. So they're down around his ankle. So he's like almost tripping, trying to run into the water to fucking cool his burning dick that had Everclear flame on it. How many people you think got up to help him?
Nobody.
Not a goddamn body. If camera phones would have been a thing at that time, my God, that would be all over Facebook.
We'd all seen it.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Fuck
that idiot.
Like, I'm happy with the visual of just like, you know, the orange wall of flame going up from inside the tent. But fuck, man, I kind of wish I could have seen that. That would have been funny.
Fucking dick singe. Oh, Jesus.
I think that dude is like the president of an IT company now.
Oh, really?
No, I don't think so.
Doesn't matter what he's doing. He's got a burnt dick. Nobody fucking cares.
Yeah, yeah. Like he probably, at a later time, like, you know, got to be in a relationship or something. You know, maybe once she got a good look at the package, she's like,
mangled.
What happened here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what happened here? He, you would like to think that he made up something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I had like a wicked case of like genital warts or something. Because what would you rather tell someone, that you had an STD or you singed your dick spitting Everclear into a fire while you were pissing into it?
Yeah, I'd probably say I'd had herpes.
Yeah, right?
I had a wart cut off there. That's what that was.
Yeah, that's some blisters removed.
Mm. Is that guy doing improv now, maybe?
And you're back to 80.
Is old Dick Singe doing prim prom?
Old Richard Singe.
Richard Singe.
Oh, the days of youth.
God, that's great. I love it. So back to Three Amigos.
Back to Three Amigos.
And the next we get this little thing of the, again, like you say, the SNL bits, you know, kind of in this movie. The next day they're exhausted and riding and Ned and Lucky don't have any water left. Like Ned just pours his canteen and there's just sand that comes out of it. But then Dusty has like the full canteen and he's pouring the water and then he just tosses the rest on like he didn't even need it.
Yeah,
and then
he takes a couple swigs and then spits it, like swishes it around, spits it out.
Gargles it. And then he has fucking lip balm.
Yeah.
He's like, want some lip balm? It's just so aggravating for the two. So they're traveling through and then they actually get to the singing bush. It's really real.
It's a thing.
And it is annoying AF.
Yeah, it was.
This, of course, any singing bush would, I guess. I don't know why we would think they'd be melodic.
Right, can't carry a tune. They're a bush.
They're a bush.
They
what
don't
the
have
fuck
proper
do they
vocal
know?
Cords. They can't. They can't hit the right octaves.
They've never gone through training.
No,
they don't know. Stupid ass bushes.
Stupid bush.
So they find the singing bush, and then they have to say the words, and then
and shoot their guns in the air
into the air. Which Ned and Lucky do, which was great. And then Dusty does it himself, but then instead of shooting into the air, he shoots behind him, and then you just hear this, and then an imprint into the desert. He has shot the invisible swordsman. And then when he goes and they pick up that arm and then just it drops back into the sand, it's so freaking funny. Oh, man. So they've shot the swordsman, and now they can't get the directions on where to go for El Guapo. Mm. El Guapo. But don't worry. There's another one of those planes in the air. How convenient. Something always happens in showbiz.
Is it a mail plane?
I don't know. Did you see the tiny balls?
The tiny balls.
The tiny balls. The tiny balls are mail. It's mail. You said a mail. yeah, boss. A mail. Mail plane. Tiny balls. Tiny balls. Mail's at balls. So they see the plane and they assume that the plane will be heading towards El Guapo.
It makes sense.
Makes sense.
Let's go check it out.
Let's go follow the plane. So they do that. Meanwhile, we cut to El Guapo, who is celebrating his birthday, his big 40th birthday, although we're not supposed to say how old he is. And the Germans have the only present that he cares about, which is guns. That's why they got the planes.
And this is where we also get my favorite line from the whole movie, mm-hmm. when El Guapo's talking to Jefe.
Yeah.
And he's like, will you say there's a plethora? Yeah, yeah, boss, there's a plethora. Jefe, what's a plethora?
It felt like me and you.
Right.
You were El Guapo, and I was El Jefe, and I was just trying to keep up. But I didn't know what the fuck you were talking about. And then Hefe's like, could it be that you're aggravated at something else and you're taking it out on me? Could it be that you're turning 40 or that Carmen hasn't stayed with you?
I just love, like, have you ever been in a conversation where someone uses a big word and you're just like, oh, yeah, yeah.
All the time.
But then they call you out on it. Have you ever been called out on?
Probably by you.
No. I don't use that many big words.
No, but maybe movie. But I think there were some movie things you said. Oh, I would laugh. Right.
Like movie references out. I'll do all the time. But mm-hmm. if someone balls up a $12 word and throws it at me, I'll just assume they know what they're talking about. And I'm like, okay, cool, right on. And I'll Google it later.
Yeah. That's what I do usually.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I cover really well because I always have to cover because I don't know what the fuck's going on. So I feel like I've gotten away with it so far.
I sometimes like to use big words in the wrong context just to see if anyone picks up on it.
Oh, that's a good way, because then if they don't call you out on it, they're a stupid ass, and you know it. You know
they
it immediately.
Are stupid ass. They're a dumb motherfucker.
You know it immediately, and you don't have to say anything about
it.
Yeah. Right. You don't have to question.
So whenever I hear the word plethora, I just think, What is a plethora?
I will think of that now.
Yeah.
That will be forever in my brain for plethora. He does have a plethora of piñatas. That's where that's come from. So El Guapo, I believe. Oh, this is when the guns come in from the Germans and El Guapo tests it out. He has that guy standing on the roof. He's like, what's that guy's name? And he makes him hold out his hat like he's going to shoot
hold
the
it
hat.
Up high.
Higher, higher. And then he shoots the guy, ends up shooting the guy. And I can't tell if it was on accident or if he really meant to. He tests out the guns. And about this time, the amigos have made their way to this fortress. Right. And they've got to figure out how to get in. And I love them trying to figure out a plan, and they run around, and then they kind of bump into each other, and then they all just prance and like hold their guns out and like are pointing in different directions, like they're shuffling. And then two of the banditos walk by and they just stay still and they don't recognize that they're there, which is super funny. And they end up knocking out a guard on the roof, and they climb in and they go to swing in like we saw it when they were at Goldsmith Studios. And so Dusty goes first and he crashes into the next building or the other side of the building. And then Ned gets stuck in a pinata and he's just hanging over top of everybody.
Which ultimately becomes one of my favorite joke setups in all of cinema.
Is it the falling from the...
Yeah, because at this point, Ned is now, he is holding on to a rope
right.
with his feet stuck in a pinata, which would take an insane amount of upper body strength. And he is literally there for the next 20 minutes.
Yes, just like, holding on.
Like 3.5 scenes happen, and he's still up there just holding on.
Maybe because he's so little. I don't know. Right. I couldn't figure out the physics of it either.
But at a certain point, you forget he's even up there.
Right.
And then he's like, oh, hey, Ned's still up here.
Right.
Like, Jesus, he's been up there for 20 minutes of this movie.
Every now and then they would cut to him, and it's like, oh, shit, that's right. Like, how's he not shaking?
Right.
He's not even perspiring.
and then in like 20 minutes as the movie goes on, mm-hmm. and the amigos get caught, Dusty and Lucky get caught, and El Guapo's like, what are gringos falling from the sky? And then
bam!
20 minutes of an absolutely brilliant setup. Holy shit, did I laugh my ass off at that.
That was a good one. I did too. I laughed my ass off at that one. Lucky ends up getting caught. He gets put in the jail cell, and then I love how Dusty gets caught. He dresses up like one of the banditos, and he gets in the middle of all of them, and he gets grabbed, and he's part of the toast. And El Guapo is talking about how he knows every one of his men and every conquest they've been on, and he goes down the line of, I was with you when we did this, blah blah blah. And he gets to Dusty, and he's like, I'm Jose! And then...
We
raped the women!
We raped
the horses!
We raped the horses!
And then we rode off on the women! And then he keeps going, he's like, who the hell are you? It's so good. That was so good.
And I love when Lucky gets caught and he's talking about
establishing the government. Like, and we will have three legislative branches.
We will have the legislative, the executive, and the judicial. Three properly equally balanced sections of government.
And he keeps like pitching it as they're taking him to the jail cell to the banditos. Like, you don't realize how much you thrive.
He's like throwing out like high school civics at these people. And it made me think how in this day and age, you think that a lot of these like fucking quote unquote patriots on social media could even rattle off the three branches of government.
No.
Don't tread on me.
Don't tread on me.
Don't step on snake.
Q didn't tell us that. Q hasn't posted about legislative stuff.
Oh shit.
Man, Jesus.
I also get a kick out of the contraption that they hook Lucky up to when they put him in the jail cell. Like it's got he's like got wrist and ankle shackles
mm-hmm.
that are on weights, and he's strapped to the wall and they drop the key in front of the cell. Here, good luck trying to get this.
Right.
And at this point in my life, all I'm thinking is that would make a phenomenal core workout.
Right.
Like, why has no one done that? Why has no one put that together? Or I'm sure they probably have, but I've never seen the inside of a gym in the last 2 years. So fuck if I know.
We'll have to go see if there's one in there.
Yeah.
Maybe. And he has to fight it with his butt and walk up to this contraption and pull levers and stuff. And it didn't make any sense. But when he gets zoomed back to the wall, just, ow. So, but he eventually gets out of the jail cell. Dusty gets caught. And then Ned falls from the sky. The gringo falls from the sky. And when he falls, the German pilot from the cantina recognizes Ned.
Yeah.
Knows he's a movie star and says that he inspired, the German guy says, Ned inspired me to learn the quick draw with all the pistol tricks and stuff. But then he realizes that's all movie tricks and no one could possibly draw their gun that fast. But Ned says, no, I didn't use any movie tricks. I'm really that fast. So now there's going to be a duel.
Oh, shit.
It's going down.
I love a good shootout.
So it's on, and I... When they give Ned that, they're like, you need to use a real man's gun. And they give him that heavy-ass gun. And how he drops to the ground with that long-ass barrel and then trying to get it into his holster was so cute. It was so funny.
What the kids call the physical comedy.
It's improv.
Improv.
So they do the draw, and Ned wins.
Blows that dude away.
And blows himself away back into the wall because of how the kickback from the gun. And Lucky, as we know, has broken out of the jail cell. And so he, and I love how when he's sneaking out of the jail cell, like, well, all three of them do it, but how they prance, you know, how they movie prance,
right, yeah.
You know, and they like leap and things. And so when Ned shoots the German pilot, then, you know, Lucky is able to shoot some people, and then I think Dusty grabs a knife. Oh, and he gets that guy stuck on the pole.
Right, yep.
And so now the amigos have the upper hand. They've gotten them. They're at a standoff. And Lucky tells El Guapo that if he moves, he's going to fill him with so much lead, he's going to have to use his dick out as a pencil, which is funny enough. But then El Guapo goes, what do you mean? And Lucky's like,
I don't know.
I don't know. Do you know how much I identified with that? Just shit I say, and if you call me, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know what it means.
Also, we missed another one of my favorites from earlier, like during the opening of the presents scene when he opens up his, he's like, it's a sweater. When I have a friend that I know is a fan of this movie, I will go to a birthday of theirs and I will purposely bring them a sweater,
yes!
Like wrap it all up just so when they open it, I can go, it's a sweater. And then just watching, you know, all of his other friends and family go, I don't get it. Like, I don't care. He's laughing. She's laughing. You're fucking uncultured swine.
Go back to your improv, you stupid bitches.
Yeah. Get him. Get him, Lily.
Yeah. Improvers. Yeah. Fuck him.
I'm guessing a lot of improvers don't have two Abby Awards.
I don't think they do.
No.
No. If they are, they're fake, sitting on a fake shelf. Because you can't use real props.
Oh, shit.
Am I going to get in trouble by your friend?
Shots fired.
Fuck him.
Yeah, fuck him.
So, let's see. Oh, and Lucky tells everybody to put their guns down, and Dusty throws his gun down like a dumbass.
Yeah, not you, Dusty.
Oh, sorry. So, they ride off on their horses with Carmen, and they're being chased, but luckily they come upon the plane, and Ned goes, well, my stunt person flew it, but I'm sure I can remember how it's done. And then it cuts to them in the drive, like him flying the plane, and just they're all screaming because it's just going up and down and up and down and hitting and going. But they do end up getting away, and El Guapo says, I will meet you at Santa Poco. So that's where we know the final battle will begin, at Santa Poco. So let's see. They get there, and now they've got to come up with a plan to save the town. And then we get into this speech about all of us having El Guapo to face, each and every one of us. And then we can all conquer our own El Guapos while also conquering the actual El Guapo. What is this town good at? And they all hem-haw around trying to figure out what the town is good at, but they finally settle on sewing.
We can sew.
So they begin to sew because they're going to do something that they've done in one of their movies, which has been helping them out pretty well so far. Hey, in Amigos, Amigos, Amigos.
Yeah, do you remember the movie Amigos, Amigos, Amigos?
So the whole town, there's this long shot of them all sewing.
Like a montage of sewing.
And I love Ned going to the old lady who's sewing by hand and not on a machine. Like, sew, old one, sew. So they're all sewing. And also they begin to dig. At some point, they're digging. They dig like this trench. We're not exactly sure what they're digging, but they're digging. And then finally, El Guapo and his men show up.
Got a whole crew with them.
Got a whole crew, and there's an empty town. And then all of a sudden, boom, we get the Three Amigos start shooting. So all the men start shooting over there at the Three Amigos. But then, oh my gosh, wait a minute. There's an amigo over there. And so all of them turn their horses and they start shooting over there. But then wait a minute. There's more amigos over here. And so they're everywhere. Amigos everywhere.
Amigos, amigos, amigos.
Amigos. They are literally everywhere. And they lure some men into one of the streetway or ways where that was the ditch that they were digging. It's full of water, which makes the horses fall into it. And so all of the men, all of El Guapo's men, decide they're going to leave. They leave El Guapo, except for Jefe, who ends up getting shot and dies.
poor Jefe.
Poor Jefe. I liked Jefe.
He was a good soldier.
He was a good sidekick.
He was a good dude.
And El Guapo falls off his horse, and then he is shot. And as he's laying there, he goes, ah. As he's laying there, then the whole town comes out in their own. They were sewing amigos costumes.
Yeah.
Fake ones to throw everybody off. So El Guapo says, that's a good trick. Come over here.
I got another one.
And then as Lucky approaches him, he shoots Lucky in the foot.
That was a good trick, too. And then he dies.
And then he dies. But the town is saved. Viva Los Amigos!
Oh, yes.
So then they have to say their goodbyes to Santa Poco. And so Dusty, they all get a kiss, but Dusty gives his watch to the little kid who asked for it when he yep. when he was dead. And then Lucky tells Carmen, who had a crush on Lucky, he was like, I'll come back one day. And she was like, why? Yeah. So like, you know, like, well, we like each other. And she finally got it. But then little Nettie gets the damn hottest chick in the town to give him the biggest kiss ever before he leaves. It came out of nowhere.
Right.
It was so funny. And them just looking at him getting kissed by this chick was hilarious.
You know, like, he's going to be the bottom in that relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's going to do what she wants.
She's going to do what she wants.
Uh-huh.
Which I don't think he probably has a problem with.
Nah. Roll over, Ned. It's my turn.
That sounded so terrible. That felt weird.
It felt weird. I didn't like it.
I didn't like it.
I don't want it.
I didn't like it in my ears. It was gross. So they, the town gathers up all the pesos that they have, all the money that they have, and they throw it to the amigos and they say, here's everything we have. Thank you for saving our town. And Ned says, as long our reward is that justice has been done. And he throws the money back just like in the movie, and they ride off into the sunset.
And there it was.
That was Three Amigos.
What do you think happens to them after this movie? Because we never got a sequel.
I think they die in the desert.
All right. Done.
They get rabies from another medium rare bat, and they die in the desert.
All right. Okay. Good note. I like it. I was going to say they try to go back to Hollywood. They don't make it, and they end up dying in Hollywood. So
either way, they're dead.
Yeah, either way.
Either way, they're deader than a doornail.
Yeah.
Soaking in the sun.
We like to keep it light here at Huntsville Home Video.
We're on the same wavelength.
God damn.
Yeah, boss. They died. They're dead.
They're done.
Yeah, they're cooking in the desert. They're dead.
Yeah, Lucky Day has a crippling heroin addiction. He dies in an L.A. gutter. Yeah.
Man,
we can't hang out with a lot of people.
No. This podcast is my only outlet. I'm different in public.
Yeah, like when the world sort of gets back to normal and we have to go out into public, you realize at that point it's going to be us in a social setting. We're just going to be off in the corner. Look at these fucking losers. Like, look at this fucking idiot. Doesn't know what a plethora is. Mm. Oh, this guy over here.
I bet that bitch does improv.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And she goes, hey, I got an improv troupe on
Fuck
Saturday.
Off, LARPer.
Yeah.
Fuck off stage, LARPer.
Oh, man.
Slarp.
And then let's be in the corner and be like, hey, remember that time we pissed off Jenny McCarthy on Twitter?
Yeah, do we need to talk about that?
Oh, we should.
We've done it. We've made the mountaintop because we got a response from a celebrity
that we made fun of.
That we made fun of, and we got two emojis.
We got two emojis by calling Jenny McCarthy a stupid anti-vax bitch.
If you missed it, which I don't know how you could have, but last week was it last week?
Well, yeah, on our
last
Reservoir
week,
Dogs,
we talked about Reservoir Dogs, and we made fun of Jenny McCarthy and called her a stupid bitch. And then we sent that audio. We tweeted that audio. If you don't follow us on Twitter at HSV Home Video. And you tagged Jenny McCarthy in it, and she responded, OMG, with a laughing emoji and then a crying emoji.
Right. Verified account. And I was like, holy shit.
And you texted me and was like, oh my God. Like, I could hear you freaking out. And as soon as I saw it, I went, oh shit, this is too real. Abort, abort.
Yeah, yeah, you like, got nervous.
I got super nervous.
Which was so funny.
Like we always say, my bark is just, I don't have a bite, right? Like, it's just, I'm all bark. Like, I'm just a barking ass bitch. I ain't gonna do shit. And then when she replied, I was like, oh no, I can't do this anymore. I can't, you know? And then I just, you were like, no, she deserves it. She's done so much shit. Fuck that bitch. And then finally, I kept thinking, I was like, okay, every New Year's Eve when she does those stupid shows, I'm like, oh, I hate this bitch. And I just kept thinking about that. And then I had a friend post who has an autistic child, and she was giving facts about her daughter who's autistic. And at the end, it says, we don't really know why exactly she has autism, blah, 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 but it was not from vaccines. And I went, you know, fuck that bitch. Fuck that Jenny McCarthy bitch.
And then I also had to point out that she was dating the third best Wahlberg to further push it over the edge.
Right.
Like, she's not married to Mark. She's not married to the dude that created the burger joint.
No.
She's married to the third best.
Right.
She's married to the new kid on the block.
Donnie.
Yeah.
Is it Donnie?
Yeah.
Donnie.
Fuck a Jenny McCarthy.
This is so funny. So, yeah, we've got our first celebrity tweet.
Yeah, we put her on the enemies list, and within 12 hours, we made her cry on Twitter.
Well done, my friend.
We are some mean-spirited fucking people.
I mean, I've thought a lot about it. I'm like, I love who we are.
Yeah.
I love who we are.
Yeah.
I did get nervous, though, but I love who we are.
I love how you got nervous, and then you went through all the emotions.
I did.
And then now you're on my level.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all good. And I
came back.
Like, when I saw that notification pop up on my phone, I was at home. Rachel was in the kitchen cooking dinner, and I was like, oh, my God, Rachel! And I ran into the kitchen, and I played her the audio clip, and then I showed her the tweet, and she was just like, I'm happy for you. Like, she did not give a fuck.
No,
I'm like, you don't understand. You don't understand.
How do you not care?
I was like, this is a crowning achievement of my life. I have pissed off a D-list celebrity on Twitter with my shitty little podcast.
A D-list fake ass, just conspiracy theorist celebrity.
Yep. All accurate.
Oh, my God.
I tweeted,
so good.
I texted everyone that, like, you would have thought that I just found out I was having a kid or some shit. Like, that's what I imagine people, oh, hey, we're having a kid, we got to tell everyone. Hey, I pissed off Jenny McCarthy, I got to tell everyone.
Yeah. Oh, my God, it's so good.
That was a good day. I hope you know that come December, y'all are getting that screenshot on a Christmas card.
Oh, my gosh. That is amazing.
Yeah.
I love it so much. Yeah, you were so happy. I could feel the exuberance from your text. That's what I could feel.
So now I have a question.
Hmm.
Do we now, since we've, like, justice was done in that situation, like, mm-hmm. we called out Jenny McCarthy, we made her cry on Twitter, do we now scratch her off of the enemies list? Have we made,
Oh, are we even?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Do we open up another spot for our Huntsville Home Videos enemies list? Because we've got number one, your kids.
Right.
We got Ethan Hawke still on there, who doesn't have Twitter because he knows, like, fucking Jack Spade's looking for him.
You asshole. He knows specifically I'm after him.
Ethan, I mean, you're a famous actor. You probably got a lot to say. Why aren't you on Twitter? Jack Spade from Huntsville Home Video has it out for me. I will never have that social media platform. But here, check me out in my performance as Nikola Tesla in this movie that six people saw.
Look, Ms. Interviewer, I don't want that smoke.
Man, you see what Jack and Leanne did to Jenny McCarthy?
They completely slaughtered her.
You think my fragile ego can handle that? Celebrity takedown here at Huntsville Home Video.
Celebrity takedown. Ding, ding. I like your idea. We can mark her off.
All right.
We did it. She responded.
I'm going to make a physical enemies list. I'm just going to...
Yeah. Who else is on there?
We got your kids, Ethan Hawke. Mm-hmm. We got Big Bang Theory fans.
Oh yeah, all of them.
All of them.
Do we have LARPers on there?
No. They're not so much enemies. They're just fun to laugh at.
Right. Okay. Yeah, they're not really an enemy.
Again, we are such unlikable pricks.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, look, we're on nobody's hate list, so we're not that unlikable.
No,
we're not as unlikable as Big Bang Theory fans.
That's true. They're, ugh.
Are improvers on there?
No.
Okay.
I feel kind of sad for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do actually, I have a buddy that I give endless amounts of shit to because, like, he loves improv, has his own improv troupe. Like, as a business.
I also hate that it's called a troupe.
Right?
Like, not a group. Or it's a troupe. I don't know why that pisses me off, but it does.
Like, he gives me endless amounts of shit because I love the Michael Bay Transformers movies. Mm. And I give him shit because, I mean, well, he owns an improv troupe.
Okay. Well, there's a difference in liking a movie and then making the wrong life choices.
Oh man, we are gonna test if he actually listens to this podcast. I might get a strongly worded email, and if I do, I'm just gonna respond. You come up with that off the top of your head?
Yes. Oh my goodness gracious.
Oh shit.
This is fun.
It's a good time.
Jack, I love us.
I mean, I'm a big fan, you know.
I don't have any problems with what I've said here today.
No.
No.
Mm-mm. Man, you guys, you know, you seem to just be agitated. You poke fun at a lot of people. I mean, you're kind of alienating part of your fan base. Fuck it. We don't want them.
We don't want them.
Yeah.
We don't want you. If you're slightly offended, we don't care.
Yeah. We have our baker's dozen that like us. Yeah. And as soon as one of those 13 are into something that we're not a fan of, fucking, we'll find another one of you somewhere.
We'll replace you.
Yeah. We might never make oodles of cash, but goddamn it, we keeps it real.
Don't you ever for a second get to thinking that you're irreplaceable.
Right? But for the time being, we love and appreciate that you're here.
Right.
And would love for you to follow us on social media.
Follow us. Send us money if you want to.
I mean, you know, if you think we're worthy of a Patreon, I mean, Cameo is a big thing now. I keep seeing all these like celebrities hawking cameos. Have you seen those?
Oh, yeah.
Like how
desperate do you have to be?
At a certain point, yeah, because like you've got some celebrities on there that will drop one for like $500.
It's ridiculous.
It's like $500 for, you know, whoever celebrity to say, hey, Leanne, happy birthday. Or mm-hmm. You got some of these like really low level celebrities that are cutting them for like $20 a pop. Those are the ones I feel the most sad for.
Mama June's got them for 50.
Oh, see, there are some actors that I like and respect, and I look at their cameos and I'm like, $300. I mean, if I was in the game, I'd try to like price myself out of it. You know, it's like if someone wants to spend $300-$500 on me cutting a birthday promo, all mm-hmm. right, fine. Right. But if I was like, if I was the level of celebrity that had to charge $20, I think I would just OD on heroin and call it a day.
Call yourself Demi Lovato and get the fuck on out of here.
Damn. All right. Yep.
Look, I wouldn't need to get into a thing, but I'm so tired of hearing about her. I don't fucking care anymore. Right. But anyways, but yeah, no, I'm with you.
This would be my celebrity cameo that I charge $20 for. Hey, Brian, happy birthday. I appreciate you spending $20 on me giving you a birthday shout out here on Cameo. Three more, and I'm going to go buy enough heroin to kill myself. I just wanted to know, you got me a third of the way there, buddy. I got two more of these to cut, and, you know, by the time this reaches your email address, I'm probably going to be gargling on my own vomit somewhere. Not in a Hollywood bathroom. I can't afford to live in Hollywood. No. I'm here at my residence here in Arab, Alabama.
For that last $40 of contribution, you can get the gargle on tape. So bad.
And that whole goodbye speech, came up with it off the top of my head. Boom!
Talent, motherfucker!
Oh, give me a scenario. Heroin overdose. Make that shit funny.
Make that hilarious.
I don't think that's funny. Really? Because Huntsville Home Video just cracked my shit up with that.
Woo!
God, you want to go heckle some improvers?
Yes!
We'll have to do it virtually because we're not there yet. We're not in person.
Can't get out there anymore. Oh yeah, what are improvers doing when they're not in person anymore? They can't get the validation that they obviously need to live their lives from people they don't know.
I was just gonna say, like, Zoom calls are torture enough, but an improv Zoom call? Fuck.
You can't Zoom improv.
You can't in person improv.
They'll find a way. They'll find a way.
Will. Fucking bunch of dramatic fucks.
How will they call out to the crowd?
Press the raise hand button on the Zoom feature, and then we'll... I would just be typing heroin overdose in the chat bar over and over
Heroin. Yeah, boss, heroin. Heroin overdose. Overdose on heroin.
Oh, my God, baby Jesus in heaven. Happy Easter.
That's right, Easter. Oh, shit. Easter. The Lord hath risen, and this is what we done did with it.
Well, I think it's a day well spent, my friend. Yeah. I'm going to give three amigos out of five.
I'll do the same. I like
it.
Three amigos out of five.
Yeah, boss, three amigos out of five.
Three. That's best.
See
best.
What you did there. That's good, boss. That was real good. Oh, shit. So what do we watch next week?
I don't know. Oh, my God. Okay, all right, hold on.
I mean, so we've already talked about... We've already made light of some pretty horrific situations, heroin overdoses and singeing your dick on fucking Everclear.
Dick singe.
You want to just try to make a really horrible fucked up movie funny?
Oh my gosh. I've never wanted to do anything else more in my life.
You ever seen Requiem for a Dream?
No, I have not.
Holy shit.
Is it fucked up?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Like, it's a movie that I have only ever seen once.
Oh, one of those.
It's one of those.
I'm ready.
It is not a movie. Like, I am actually kind of dreading having to revisit it. Not because I remember it being bad, just because it was so fucking heavy and so, like, it's, you know, I never tell you what movies are about going into them. You never look them up.
Right.
But just know that it deals with a lot of, like, drug addiction and stuff like that. And it's dark. There's not any bit of humor in this movie at all. Like, you're gonna, I still remember, again, having only seen this movie once when it first came out, and it left an impression on me. Number one, that impression was, I am never fucking doing heroin ever.
Okay.
Like, if you
more,
have
more
if,
effective than Nancy Reagan.
Yes. I mean, Nancy Reagan makes me want to do drugs. Every time I see her mummified looking fucking corpse up on TV from the 80s going, just say no. Nope, I think I'm going to say yes, Nance.
Nance. That's a first lady you're talking about.
Nah, Nance. Fuck her. She's a horrible human being.
Okay.
Her and Ronnie fucking Reagan.
Oh, no. You can't insult Ronald Reagan.
I did.
Was it you telling me you watched a documentary about him?
It was so it was there's a podcast called The Dollop, which I've been
That's what you told me about.
Yeah, I've been introduced to that recently, and it's a really good podcast. Mm-hmm. So thanks, Marlon, for that one. I appreciate the suggestion.
Thanks, Marlon.
Thanks, Marlon. Yeah,
Marlon. Marlon's a good guy. Good guy. Good friend. Good friend. We're good. Always says those dispatch checks.
But there was like a 2-episode on Ronald Reagan,
mm-hmm.
and just all the horrible shit that he did.
Oh no!
And I mean, there's like rape allegations, there's abuse allegations, there the fact that he went for like 4 years before he even remotely addressed the AIDS pandemic or epidemic.
Oh.
And there's just a lot of like real shitty things that we don't like back
never
then.
Heard of.
You didn't hear of because either news stories, stations didn't cover them, and you didn't have fucking mindless jackals just blabbing about fake news on fucking Facebook 24/7. But if Facebook was a thing back then, people would remember Ronald Reagan for the monster that he is.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Some crazy shit.
All right.
So, but yeah, and Nancy too. Man, fuck Nancy Reagan. I'll piss on their graves and spit some Everclear at them, but I will not singe my dick. I will just say no to a singed dick. That's what I'll say.
We should all say that.
Yeah.
We should all say no.
Agreed.
Oh,
but yeah, Requiem for a Dream. Like when I left that, when I watched that movie, I bought it on DVD. I didn't see it in theaters.
Okay.
I just bought it on DVD and I sat home and I watched it. And after I watched, I just sat there.
Okay.
I'm just like, fuck.
Oh, shit.
Like, just a heavy, heavy movie.
I did that with Apocalypse Now.
Heavier.
Okay.
So much heavier.
All right.
Like, so much darker, so much just, there's, like, no hope in this movie.
Oh,
and we're
going
to try
no
to make
hope.
It funny. We're going to try to make it funny.
Here's what's going to happen. I told you we weren't getting to 100 episodes.
Oh, shit. Is Requiem for a Dream going to be the one that kills
us?
Is
this going to be the one? Because we're going to say something that's more fucked up than the movie.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
I mean, you know,
that's okay. I can edit it out.
They always say, you know, the first time you try heroin, you're chasing the dragon. You're trying to find that high
mm-hmm.
again, and you never do until you eventually OD from it.
Mm.
And now we're gonna like just chase that high of saying fucked up shit. We're gonna get to a point.
We're gonna find our Everest.
Where it's just like, oh well, this is where they went off the rails, huh? Okay. All right.
I think we can do it.
You believe in us?
I believe in us.
I believe that 2-time Happy Award winner, Leanne Foster, can make Requiem for a Dream funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're going to make it funny.
Yeah, boss.
Yeah, boss.
Oh, shit. You are in for a treat.
Okay. I have wanted to watch it, and I do love, I don't enjoy a movie. Of course, if it's going to stick with me like that, I'm sure I can't say that I enjoy that movie, but I am fascinated by those movies. And I kind of like want to see them if they're supposed to stick in my brain.
And quite honestly, I mean, if you would just, when you were in high school, did they have like your DARE teachers come in, your anti-drug teachers come in? Or were they too busy getting knocked up and pregnant and
well, that, they were too busy getting knocked up and pregnant. We had to talk about that. And also that was we were No Child Left Behind where all the dumb ones got through.
Yeah.
You know? But I do remember we assembled at the gym and we would have people who had been on drugs talk to us about being on drugs and why we shouldn't do drugs, and they would shift and shit, and it was a lot.
Fuck all that. Show them Requiem for a Dream.
Okay.
And then when the credits roll, just be like, any questions?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow. All mm-hmm. right then.
So there right. it is. Next week we're gonna try to make we're gonna see how that conversation goes.
Oh shit!
My God, I'm almost a little terrified.
We might just be 5 minutes of us going. We can't.
Right?
Just don't watch this.
So anyway, and then this thing happens, and like, oh my God, it was so fucked up.
Boss. Yeah. Fucked up, boss.
Leanne, you ever tried heroin before? No. And I never will. Yeah, I get you. I mean, this movie really. God, fucking hell. Anyway. Follow us on the social medias over at HSV Home Video. I'm sorry, like Leanne, you want to cover this for a second? I just gotta go. I gotta get some fresh. I just gotta shake this one off, man. This is.
Yeah, I got it, man. I'm fine by myself.
That's yep.
Dead silence.
Yeah.
Just the fumbling of the mic and then yeah, and then just brr.
The creak of the door opening, the creak of the door closing.
I can't do it, man.
Huntsville Home Videos brought to you by Underboss Photography.
Give them a follow, Underboss Photography. They
You boss!
Oh, no, Leanne, no. What are you doing? You're pissing off the one person that wants to sponsor us
right now.
We don't have that liquid death water money yet.
Oh, shit. All right. That's okay. We can't fool around.
Although The Rock has a new energy drink. I'm going to go after that market. I'm going to go after Zoa.
He does?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Zoa Energy.
Got that tequila in it?
You can put some of that Terramana tequila in it.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Sip your Zoa and let's fucking go. That's The Rock's tagline for it.
Oh, I thought you made it up, but I was so proud of you.
No, sorry. I did not improv that one.
Oh, man. Improv it.
Yeah, he's got a good a variety of flavors, too. Orange, berry, lemon, lime.
Mm.
Very good.
I'm a lemon lime fan.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I went
Have you tried it?
I've got a six-pack at the house.
Oh, love that you didn't share it.
I didn't know how you react to energy drinks.
Hold on, excuse me. Let me just sip on my simple, honest, delicious, nice water.
Yeah.
Purified.
None of those things describe you. Simple, honest, nice. Yo, you just snarfed all over the microphone, yo.
As if snarfed. As if snarfed all over the microphone wasn't funny enough, you followed with a yo?
You don't get to be you don't get to be a two-time Abby Award winner by being simple, honest, and nice.
No.
Gotta be ruthless in this industry.
That was so well done, but You said snarfed all over the microphone, yo. That's so funny. All of the things you are not. Oh, God. I'm done.
Give Underboss Photography a follow on social media. Check out all their amazing prints, all their amazing photography. Book them for a photo session if you're here in the Huntsville area. Follow them at Underboss_Photography on Instagram. Hit them up on Facebook and hit us up on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at
HSV Home Video.
Very well done. So next week, oh my God, it's going to be fucked up. I'm already anticipating. This might be the end. This might be the end of Huntsville Home Video next week. Check us out as we talk about Requiem for a Dream.
There's
and until
water
then, be kind and rewind.
Yeah, 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 boss. Rewind it, rewind it, rewind it.
We are the two.
Here goes.